Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we'll be talking about the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg that has brought about what will be seen as a political crisis in America. But that political crisis is nothing compared to the war against the innocent child that has been waged for decades now. Half a century with the wholesale slaughter of unborn children. So with Gorsuch opening the seat on the U.S. Supreme Court, that is the significant factor. It's a condemnation of democracy when you realize that individuals, candidates, judges hold a wide array of positions on very important fundamental moral issues. So when the innocent are being killed, things like, well, let's say socialism and taking money by force of government from people and then giving that money to other people, that is not only a Democratic Party practice, but it is widely implemented also by the Republican Party and the current Republican Party. So what you do is you try to decide, okay, they're killing innocent children, and so I want to vote for someone who will stop the killing of innocent children, but those people also support dozens of socialist programs that we have in America and adding others. And I'm talking here about Republican politicians who are considered to be against abortion. And they also radically support sexual immorality, decriminalizing sexual immorality. In fact, the Trump administration has a global initiative to get every country that still, thankfully, rightly, has a law against homosexual activity, and they're fighting to decriminalize homosexuality in every nation around the world. So those are three issues. There are many, many more. And by democracy, you end up weighing these and saying, okay, I'm going to support this guy. Right now, for most Christians, they're supporting Donald Trump, pro-life Christians, even though Donald Trump has admitted he's pledged, he's promised, he's pro-choice, and he is pro-choice. At a minimum, he's pro-choice state by state because he calls it states' rights. That if Colorado wants to kill kids, then we don't kill children, unborn children, over Donald Trump's objection, but by his own policy and with his approval. Same thing with California and New York and so on. So Christians say, well, we overlook Donald Trump's promotion of homosexuality here and around the world and his socialist streak that he has and any number of other significant betrayals of morality and truth and justice. We'll overlook that because he's really good on abortion and he's for states' rights on abortion. And God's opinion on this, as he shows in the Bible, is that if you kill an unborn child, that's murder, right? You could go to American Right to Life's website/Bible. So AmericanRTL.org/Bible, you can see that God views abortion as murder. And as far as states' rights, that's addressed in the Bible too, believe it or not, because there were 12 tribes in Israel. Think of those as states. And one tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, refused to prosecute a murder. They refused. And so God had the other 11 tribes all get together and invade the tribe of Benjamin and slaughter them because they refused to prosecute a single murder case. Now, we have conservative Christians who say the states have the right to decide not to prosecute murder, to kill unborn children wantonly. What, do states have the right to decide to kill Jews or blacks or Christians or atheists? Do they just have the right to kill them because that's a state's right? So states have the right to prosecute criminals, but they don't have the right to decriminalize murder. That is a finer point lost on many of our Christian leaders, but it's utterly biblical and obvious. So now with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her death, and it's too late to pray for her, I realize that 40 days for life, they don't pray for our personhood amendments that have been on the ballot in states around the country. They don't pray for the abolitionist movement, but they've announced that the God of heaven has welcomed Ruth Bader Ginsburg to glory and that we should all pray for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Isn't that something? I mean, they have more of a love for Planned Parenthood and the pro-abort justices in the federal judiciary than they have for pro-lifers who are trying to actually end abortion, not regulate it, but end it. So in America, we have a Republican judicial crisis. The woman who's considered to be at the top of Donald Trump's list, he currently has a list of 44 potential Supreme Court nominees. The media, including the conservative media, including Fox News, has been incorrect every time they attempt to say who's on the list, how many names, when was the list given. They never get it right. We get it right at kgov.com/Trumps44, Trump S-44. And the editor of one of the leading conservative news sites emailed me just yesterday and said, Bob, thanks for calling us out on this error. It's our headline story above the fold, and we've corrected our list of Donald Trump's possible Supreme Court picks. So we have that correct, of course. And by the way, you can find it just by going to kgov.com. It's on our homepage right now. You can get to it through our Republican Judicial Crisis, and that link is right there also. So it's easiest, just go to kgov.com. If you're listening to this in a few days from now, you might want to go to kgov.com/Republican Judicial Crisis with hyphens between the words. We have there audio from Amy Coney Barrett. She's considered to be the most likely pick from Donald Trump's 44 names that he has released going back to 2016. And then in 2017, he released more names in removing, for example, Brett Kavanaugh, because he's no longer on the list. He's now on the Supreme Court. We have the remaining 44, the 20 new names in 2020 and the remaining 24 for 44. And the most likely, Amy Coney Barrett, she was asked a while back at something called the Public Policy Institute about Roe v. Wade. This is at Jacksonville University. And her answer, very matter-of-fact, very nonchalant, not as though she's talking about the slaughter of millions of children, but it's just a legal question, and it might not even be her own opinion, but let's hear her answer to this question about the future of Roe v. Wade.
The core case, that Roe's core holding that, you know, women have a right to an abortion, I don't think that would change, but I think the question of whether people can get very late-term abortions, you know, how many restrictions can be put on clinics, I think that would change.
Okay, so just very matter of fact, if you asked a German judge what the courts may do in the future, and he answered rather matter of factly, displaying no hint of moral outrage, we may see some modifications to court rulings on how Auschwitz operates, but don't expect it to be shut down. there would be something morally wrong with that person. That person obviously doesn't understand the gravity, the crime against humanity being committed, and the eternal consequences of what they're talking about. So that's strike two against Barrett. Strike one is that she was mentored by Antonin Scalia. And Antonin Scalia is considered to be what? The most pro-life justice ever on the U.S. Supreme Court? That could very well be. Perhaps he is, but he certainly was not pro-life. He certainly did not recognize the right to life of the unborn child. In fact, at Pepperdine University, he spoke there a couple years before he passed away. And we found out about his talk and the Q&A afterward from an attorney, a staff attorney at Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family itself, Tom Minery, their VP of Public Policy, James Dobson, when he was there, they didn't seem to care much about what Antonin Scalia said at Pepperdine. But James Odom, their staff attorney, he sure seemed to care a lot. So here's what we found out. And the pro-life movement seems to this day to be utterly unconcerned about Antonin Scalia's actual view on abortion. And he was asked about a federal ban on abortion. And in his answer, it went on for about a minute or so. He found reason to chuckle, crack a joke. But the bottom line was this. He said, if anyone passed a law that prohibited abortion in all 50 states, and by that, who would that be? It'd have to be Congress. He said, I would strike down that law. I would strike down that law. And his reason is he thinks that the states should decide. Now, that is not anti-choice. That's pro-choice state by state. Let the states decide. If they were deciding whether or not you could lynch blacks, whether a gang could get together and lynch a black person because he's black, I presume that Scalia would say, no, the states don't have that right. But I would just be presuming, because then he'd have to contradict himself. If a state wanted to gas Jews, I presume Antonin Scalia would say, no, a state doesn't have that right. But I'd just be presuming, because he'd be contradicting himself. And he went on to say, if you want abortion to be legal, then get with your friends and pass a law in your state that says abortion is legal, and I'll uphold that law. And on the other hand, if some state wants to pass a law that says abortion is not legal here, I'll uphold that law. So basically, Antonin Scalia had just admitted to committing crimes against humanity. And on Judgment Day, he will answer for that, not only as charged by Jesus Christ, but he will answer to the children who were slaughtered with the approval of Antonin Scalia. That's who he will answer to. Those children, like a sea of humanity, will be there before him. And he will be judged and condemned for his support for killing them. And so if somebody were to ask you, you were in Germany, so what's going to happen with the legal future of Auschwitz? And you said, well, I'd expect it to continue as is. We might tweak it a bit, but don't expect any big changes. It would be as though you were a judicial bureaucrat. So Amy Coney Barrett has two strikes against her, and undoubtedly we'll find out about a third sometime in the very near future. On our page at Republican Judicial Crisis on KGov, we quote an anti-abortion abolitionist group called Free the States. And they wrote this after Ruth Bader Ginsburg died regarding the possible confirmation of a jurist who actually thinks Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided and wants to overturn Roe. Okay, so here's what Free the States abolitionist wrote if we confirm a Supreme Court justice who actually thinks Roe should be overturned. They wrote, quote, Supreme Court history informs us that Roe's reversal would still be unlikely. In 1992, please listen to this. This is so significant. In 1992, the U.S. Supreme Court was made up of 8 Republican nominees. Eight. Including 3 from Reagan and 2 from George H.W. Bush. Hey, that's 5 from pro-life presidents. 5. The lone Democrat on the court was Justice Byron White, who dissented in Roe v. Wade. So there were 8 Republicans and a pro-life Democrat. The Planned Parenthood versus Casey 1992 decision that was out of Pennsylvania should have been a slam dunk overturning of Roe. Yet even the 92 court upheld legal abortion. In fact, there was an article. Where did I see it? Was it in Vice or Vogue or The Atlantic? And the headline of the article was something like this. Why have there been so many pro-abortion rulings issued by the conservative Supreme Court? That was the headline. The majority opinion in that 1992 case was made up entirely of Republican nominees. So we make the case Roe v. Wade was written by a Republican justice. Remember that by Harry Blackmun? Roe v. Wade was passed by a Republican court. The court at the time was 7-2. And Roe v. Wade was passed by a majority of Republican justices. And the court has been majority Republican ever since. And at one point, when we checked a few years back, 60% of the United States federal judiciary had been nominated by Republican presidents, and it was overwhelmingly pro-abortion. Overwhelmingly. And we even have more Republicans on the court than the media, and especially the pro-life movement, admits. Because Sonia Sotomayor, why is she considered to be a Democratic justice when she was nominated for the federal judiciary by George Bush? George Bush put her on the federal judiciary, and she was then promoted from just a run-of-the-mill federal judge to a Supreme Court judge by Barack Obama. So why does she count as a Democrat judge? At least she's a 50-50, no? A CSC, meds of meds? Not a single justice on the Republican U.S. Supreme Court defends the personhood and the right to life of the unborn child. This is why a few years back at American Right to Life, I'm on the board of American Right to Life. It's an alternative to National Right to Life. National Right to Life, if you want to get to their website, there's a description of the laws that they support. All the laws they support end with, and then you could kill the baby. So if you type that into your browser's address bar and put .com after it, you go right to National Right to Life's website. And then you could kill the baby.com. It's sort of like typing in Antifa.com and going right to Joe Biden's website. Same thing, only we thought of it 20 years earlier. So, and then you could kill the baby.com. That describes National Right to Life and their total existence. They have opposed all efforts for decades to ban abortion state by state and federally. So on the board with American Right to Life out of Denver, Colorado, we issued a press release along with a photo of a check, an actual check from American Right to Life. And in fact, I'm looking at the check right now on our website. It's right there at kgov.com/Republican Judicial Crisis. It's for $10,000. Made out payable to National Right to Life. In the memo, it says to name a single pro-life justice. How's that? $10,000. In the press release we put out, it was reported at CNBC, the Denver Post, Yahoo News, Covenant News, Houston Chronicle, and so on. Here, let me read you some of the press release. American Right to Life is offering $10,000 to National Right to Life, said the group's president, Leslie Hanks, if they can name a single justice on the current U.S. Supreme Court who has ever stated in an interview or a ruling or even a dissent that the unborn child has a right to life. The point is that after decades of National Right to Life's compromise strategy, there is not a single justice on the court who acknowledges the child's right to life. In 1981, after President Ronald Reagan agreed he would sign federal personhood legislation for the unborn, National Right to Life and their longtime attorney, James Bopp, actually opposed that effort, claiming they supported a states' rights approach. All right, you got that bit of history? Ronald Reagan wins. He's the president of the United States. He brought down the Soviet Union. Maybe after legalizing abortion in California, the third state to decriminalize the killing of innocent children in modern American history. First state was Mississippi in 1966. Second state was Colorado in 1967. And that was in April. A few months later, Ronald Reagan signed pro-abortion legislation, decriminalizing abortion for many different reasons. You know, all the typical excuses for killing kids in California. He later said that it was the worst decision of his life. Now, was it? He put Sandra Day O'Connor on the U.S. Supreme Court, and she was known to be a pro-abortion liberal Republican. Which state was she in the legislature for? I believe it was New Mexico. And she had voted twice in favor of abortion, twice. Conservatives like us here, conservatives in the lesser ministries, you know, not the national stars, not the Jay Sekulos of the world, whatever he was doing at the time, not the James Dobsons of the world, but the lesser ministries were outraged. And years later, Jerry Falwell appears on video in a documentary, and he was asked about Reagan nominating Sandra Day O'Connor. And he told the story. He said, I was on vacation and I get a call, it's the president. So Jerry Falwell is the head of Moral Majority, right? They started Liberty University. His son is a loser. So he says this. He says, Ronald Reagan told me that we're not going to like his nominee, Sandra Day O'Connor, but as a favor to him personally, please give him a few weeks. Please don't publicly object. And so Falwell stayed quiet. Sandra Day O'Connor became yet another pro-abortion Supreme Court justice for many years. So to his credit, though, human beings are complex. Ronald Reagan did write a book, Abortion in the Conscience of a Nation, saying that abortion needed to be ended. And on this program, Bob Benyert Live, I interviewed U.S. Representative from Southern California, Bob Dornan, B1 Bob, considered to be the strongest anti-abortion advocate in the House of Representatives. And he was a strong ally of President Reagan's for national defense, hence his nickname, B1 Bob, the B1 bomber, and against the killing of innocent children. And on this show, he shared the history that National Right to Life, they should have known intimately, they have to know it, that after being elected, Ronald Reagan said, let's end abortion nationally. I will sign federal personhood legislation for the unborn. National Right to Life turned him down. That was 40 years ago. They turned him down. Their longtime attorney, James Bopp, he was at the Indiana Right to Life annual banquet that I spoke at. I was the keynote speaker back in, I believe it was 1996 or 97. And perhaps I'll tell that story in a moment. But they turned down Ronald Reagan. I blasted them for turning down Ronald Reagan. 40 years later, notice that National Right to Life, and still James Bopp, he's still hanging in there, have long opposed not only federal personhood legislation, but all state personhood efforts. How's that? When they said, no, we're against going after a federal strategy. We want to do this state by state. We're supporting a state's rights approach. How bizarre. So here in Colorado and elsewhere, like in Mississippi, in South Dakota, elsewhere, there have been many efforts to pass statewide personhood amendments, abolish abortion in Oklahoma and elsewhere. Here in Colorado, and this is in this press release, for the elections in 2008, 2010, and 2014, Colorado pro-lifers turned in 250,000 signatures of registered voters to force statewide referendums to acknowledge in law the personhood of the unborn child. And while we lost severely in these campaigns, we did narrow the margin from a 3-1 defeat to a 2-1 defeat. Yet through all this time, National Right to Life, they've been against state efforts to end abortion. They said, oh, Ronald Reagan, thanks, but no thanks. We support a states' rights approach, and 40 years later, they're still opposing that. So a while back, we decided to extend this offer of real money from just National Right to Life to the general public. And we just have now perhaps one person who we owe $1,000 to. We're looking into it, a Judge David Dugan from Illinois. This is the update in this press release. Update, we have extended this to offer $1,000 to the first person in the general public to provide evidence that a single one of the hundreds of Republican judges in the federal judiciary has ever held in a ruling, dissent, or otherwise that the unborn child has a right to life. On September 17th, 2020, Jason Troyer, and if that name sounds familiar, go to American Right to Life's website, their article opposing abortion regulations. He's the one who came up with the observation that when you prune the abortion weed, you strengthen its roots. So when you regulate child killing, you actually help abortion dig in and become more durable, possibly for years or decades more. So on September 17th, Jason Troyer provided American Right to Life with evidence that Donald Trump's nominee, David Dugan, may merit this distinction. If so, then we owe $1,000 to Jason Troyer. ARTL will investigate this promising development, and hopefully, despite Dugan's strong stand, hopefully we will not find any indication that he would uphold regulations legislating how, when, or where an unborn child can be legally killed, legally in quotes. In the meantime, we renew the offer of $1,000 to the first person who provides evidence of another federal judge. We do, of course, hope there's more than one who has ever held that the unborn child has a right to life. So we need to learn more about David Dugan. For example, there are pro-lifers who are against the death penalty. And there are pro-lifers who are against killing seals. Some are against killing any animals. So when you have a pro-lifer who wants to end abortion, we realize there's many motives other than recognizing the unborn child has a right to life. So we want to look into that, and we're very hopeful. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.